Hello, and welcome to the Gospel Bell in the Dells, a weekly podcast sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in every age and place. My name is Pastor Joseph Dogan, pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Wisconsin Dells. Come and hear the good news that is indeed for you. The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went home, and the crowd came together again so that Jesus and the disciples could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. But his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here is my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Part of being a preacher is to take what we learn about in Scripture and use it to address what is happening in the world around us. I've been told that as a preacher, you're to take the Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other and preach with those two things. Whatever a newspaper is, I don't really, it's before me. Now, one of the difficulties of being in a church that follows the lectionary or this three-year rotation of prescribed text is that we don't get to pick and choose the scripture that we talk about, except for when we do. Now, one of the optional alternate texts that I could have picked for this week was from 1 Samuel chapter 8. And I didn't put it in the bulletin because I didn't quite know what I was going to speak on until about halfway through the week, after hearing a song that was praising a presidential candidate as the chosen one. And I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in 1 Samuel. And if you've been part of the Manna and Mercy Bible study, some of this will sound familiar to you. The Israelite people, at this point, have escaped from Egypt. They were under the foot of Pharaoh, and from there they wandered the wilderness, where they learned more about their relationship with God and putting trust in God that God will provide in times of need. It is here that they learn about the commandments from God and how to be in this relationship with God and with each other. After finally getting to their land, they are governed by a people that are called judges to help solve disputes. But these people don't have the same authority as, say, a king. And so the people ask for a king. But God, confused why they would want this when they already have a God who is king over all things, tells them that if you have a king like the other nations, like what you are asking for, then this king will take from you. This king will take your land, take your children. This king will take your spouses. This king will forsake me, their God, and you will lift up this person instead, just like the other nations. Regardless, despite this warning, the people beg for a king, and they ask God to appoint a king through Samuel. So Samuel goes and tells God, this is what the people want, and God warns them again. But God relents, and all that God said would happen comes to pass. It's almost like God knows what's going to happen. The people listened to the first king, who was
Saul.
They listened to Saul over what the commandments of the Lord said, and they chose Saul over God time and time again. Now they eventually get David as king, who does point to God certainly more than Saul had, but still has his own faults as a king of the nation. The two tribes of Israel at the time then enter into a time of kings, some okay, but most doing evil before God and forsaking the commandments that God once taught to the people. They went against the commandments that tell them they are to rule with love and with faithfulness and with humility, as David had. But none of them quite get it right. Enter Jesus, who people lifted up as a king and wanted him to be the next king of Israel to bring them out of Roman rule. Now, Jesus gives us more of an idea of who these kings were originally meant to be. He washed people's feet. He fed the hungry and the poor, healed the sick, and above all else, saw himself as a servant with the power that he had. He says clearly that though he was in the form of God, he did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. We know the love of what a leader is supposed to have through Jesus Christ, yet we still find ourselves over and over again with kings like Saul. And I bring this up because it is an election year, in case you've missed any of the ads going on. And I bring this up as a warning. Be careful not to worship a king as if they are God, but to look to the ways that they serve those who they are in, who are in their care. Those cute bobbleheads, t-shirts, songs of worship, and turning leaders into celebrities is idolatry. Place first your faith in God and allow this faith, allow the Holy Spirit to be your guide in how we lead and how we choose to be led through love, faithfulness, and humility. Election years aren't easy. I think we can remember the last one, right? And during the last one, I had a disagreement with a family member while out to dinner. And this family member in the middle of the restaurant shouted at me that I was off my rocker, followed by a few other choice words. Our relationship has never really been the same since then. This conflict that happens in family can be some of the most difficult to reconcile, because we are taught to expect our families to show unconditional love and acceptance and to be able to have disagreements without breaking the relationship. But that's not how it always happens. We fight over politics, philosophies, religion, race, sexuality, and sometimes these fights are too big to get over, especially when a person's very humanity is being questioned. Now, at the start of our gospel today, we have Jesus' very family going out to try and restrain him and his disciples over what they had been told. They restrain him because they were told a rumor that Jesus and his followers were out of their minds, off of their rockers, and possessed by demons. His own family played into this ploy against Jesus, working to tarnish his image and work against him directly. After this conflict, Jesus finds out that his family is still looking for him, and Jesus asks the messengers, "Who is my family? Those people outside? Surely not those who just did me great harm, but instead it is those who I find myself with right now. Those who stayed with me when things got hard, those who remained when I faced the impossible, they are my family." Sometimes, dearest siblings, we find those who become a part of our family in a way we never expected. Now, as many of you know, my immediate family is now made up of 5 beautiful souls that all live together in this weird harmony, none of which are related by blood. One of them legally related to, but but none of which started this life together. But through the love of Jesus Christ, we have found a family in one another. Sometimes the families that we find in Christ become where we feel the safest, the most genuine, and feel the love of God more than anywhere else. Even in a year when tensions reach an all-time high in this country, know this: there is a place for you where you will be welcomed as you are. There is a place for you where the love of God reigns above all else. And know also that this place isn't your final home that we see in 1 Corinthians. There is a home in Jesus Christ where there is no conflict or war. There is no other king to divide us, because there is only Jesus Christ, the Lord of all, who rules with love, compassion, and mercy. Just as Jesus was met by his mother at the cross, what we find is that even those who have done us great harm will be softened by the love and mercy of our Savior. All of this is to say, above all, remember to place faith in God before all else, before political leaders, before politics, before petty arguments, and even before family. For it is in God where you will find the true ruler of all, will find the end to conflict, and will find a family. It is in your faith where we are told that we are no longer separated by such things that divide us. We are no longer Jew or Greek, no longer Republican or Democrat, no longer enslaved or free, no longer blue collar or white collar, neither male or female, no longer defined by strict gender roles. And we are instead found as one in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Thank you again for listening to our weekly podcast, The Gospel Bell and the Dells. To find out more about this ministry or learn ways to support us, please go and follow us on Facebook at Bethany Lutheran Church or at our website at dellsbethanylutheran.org.